helps us in our walk with you, inspires us to follow you in a deeper way. And I'm just thankful again for each person that's here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're in our series called There's a Psalm for That, and we're dealing with our emotions. So throughout the summer, we're going to deal with different things that the psalm deals with as far as our emotions go. And today, the emotion really that we're going to talk about today is confusion. Have you ever been confused as to what to do in a situation? Have you ever looked at a situation and just like you're just confused? Normally, when we're confused, we seek out clarity. And the best way to do that for most of us is we try to find a person that can give us guidance in that area. So, for instance, if you are trying to lose weight and you're confused about how to do it, you find a person in your life that maybe lost some weight and you're like, yo, tell me how you did what you did. You know, I need some guidance here. Maybe you're confused about your finances and you're in debt. You find a person that uses a budget, invests well, and you ask them for guidance in that area. Maybe you're trying to excel at a hobby or a sport and you're confused because you don't seem to really be getting it. You're not doing that well. So you may find someone that is good at that and actually ask them for some guidance. When we don't seek out guidance, oftentimes we get or stay confused about what to do or what we need to do. So today we have another Psalm of David. It's Psalm 25. And in this Psalm, David is confused as to what to do in his situation. And rather than wallowing in confusion, he goes to the Lord in prayer. So I just want to tell you, the simple answer for us when we're experiencing the emotion of confusion is to pray. That's the simple answer. If you're wondering what to do, if you're confused about something, you need to pray. So David, in his confusion, he prays. And what we're going to do is we're going to study his prayer. Now, most of you, as we go through this, you're probably going to wonder at what time period in David's life did he write this psalm? Theologians can't pinpoint it. We don't know exactly when. So was it after he sinned and fell? We don't know. So basically, we're just going to take this psalm at face value and what he said, what he prays. So I believe prayer is a place to start in any area of life because that is what the scriptures teach us. Okay, what we are doing when we pray, we're essentially doing this. We're saying, God, you know better, and that is why I'm going to you. God, you know better, and that is why I'm going to you. And in the case of David, the first thing he does in his prayer is he displays confidence in God. So we're going to pick up Psalm 25, verse 1 through 3. It says this, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous." So David, in his humility, is displaying his dependence and trust in God. When we go to prayer, where what we are doing is... Wait, what am I doing? Okay. When we go to prayer, what we're doing is we're basically saying, you know, God, I'm confident in the fact that you can do something. Think about this for a second. If you ask someone for help, you are displaying dependence on them. You're saying, okay, I'm depending on you. And what you're doing is you're saying, I'm depending on you. And not only that, I'm confident that you are the one that can help me. If I have a heavy couch to lift, I'm not going to ask the toddler next door, hey, can you give me a hand with this couch? I'm going to ask his dad because I'm confident that the dad can probably help me. So now what David does is David asks, don't let my enemies celebrate or having victory over me or your people Israel. Okay, don't let the enemies get one up on us. You know, Israel had plenty of enemies, but this could be more personal for David because some other things that happened in David's life, some of you might remember, King Saul pursued him. Then his son Absalom was trying to raise up a rebellion against him. So David was no stranger to having enemies. Now, either way, in this prayer, he reminds God, God, I'm confident in the fact that you will take care of me and protect me from my enemies. Do you realize sometimes in life we're confused because we might be doing the right thing, but people treat us unfairly, or some people might even come against us? But there's no need to be confused that this is happening. Here's what I want to remind you of and what the scriptures teach. There's no reason to be confused that things like this happen, even if you are a follower of Jesus, because people are sinful. And guess what? Sinful people will do sinful things to other people. So people are sinful, but we know this, and David knows this. We can be confident that God will take care of his children. So we go to him in prayer, and we're confident that he could take care of the situation. Now, next, in that confidence that David has in God, what he does next is he goes to God for guidance. He says this, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." You know, when we're confused about what to do in any situation, we need to pray and ask God to know his ways, to know his paths, and to know his truth. Now, this sounds kind of familiar, and some of you might recognize the scripture passage from John verse 14, chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, most of us know this as a gospel-centered verse, right? The gospel message is this, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God, and Jesus said, "All who believe will have eternal life." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's our salvation when we trust in Jesus. But when we look at the parallel to this psalm, in life, we look to the Word for the way to go, the way to live, meaning our daily decisions, especially when things are not abundantly clear. So you're confused about something, you need to go to the Word. We look to the Word for the path we should take, meaning this, what God's will is for our lives in that situation that we're in. Because Jesus should be our life. Like Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus should be our life. As believers, he should be the center point and the focal point of our life. And we look to the Word for truth, okay, meaning the deep truths and the realities that God has shown us in his Word and all that he has done. Now, we find guidance in the Word, and most of you that have been here for a while know that's the drum I bang all the time. You got to get into God's Word. Every single day, you have to be in God's Word. If you're wondering where to start, we have a resource link on our app and on our website. You can go there, and we have a lot of guides and different things to get you in God's Word every single day. We spend a lot of time preaching God's Word here, but I don't believe that's enough. I believe that you need to be in God's Word daily because you find guidance in the Word, and we look to the example of Jesus and his life. Do you realize that John chapter 1 actually says this about Jesus? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus in himself is the very Word of God. So when we look to Jesus, we're actually looking to the Word to live our lives. But do you realize this? Oftentimes we get off course. We don't follow God. We sin against him and others. And David, most of you know, was no stranger to sin. So in the next section of his prayer, David, what he does is in his prayer, he's actually telling us what happens when we sin. He's telling us what happens when we sin. And you know what it is? It brings confusion. Sin brings confusion. So the first thing is this. Sin confuses our identity. Remember, your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. So here's what happens. David here is asking God not to remember the sins of his youth. Do you realize sometimes we fall into this trap? We let our sins identify us. We do this because the world around us does this. And we're conditioned to not only do this to ourselves, but to others. So we commit a sin, we feel ashamed, we feel guilty, but we think we're kind of that sin. And it depresses us, it confuses us. We think, how can I be any different than this? How could someone love me? How could God love me? So we wallow in this guilt and shame. In fact, our culture, people identify who they are by the sins that they commit because they don't even believe those are sins. But when David is appealing to God based on God's steadfast love and God's faithfulness and goodness, he's saying, I don't want to identify. I don't want you to identify me with those sins, which we know now on the other side of the cross by trusting in what Jesus has done. We know this to be true. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Some of you might have committed this verse to memory in the past. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You know, when you fall into sin, it's tempting to get confused and think you're not that new creation that God made you to be. You're still doing the wrong things. Don't believe that lie. Do you know where that lie comes from? It's from Satan. He does not want you to believe that you are made new. He does not want you to believe that you are forgiven. He does not want you to believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants you to believe the lie. He wants you to believe that you are the sins that you commit, but you're not. Don't believe it. Bring that sin to God and let him take care of it. That's what David's doing here. Don't remember these sins. God, I'm bringing them to you. But the next thing sin confuses is our direction. It says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. You know, this part of the prayer is a reminder. One of the things that God continually does is he instructs who? Sinners. You know who sinners are? Every single person here. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, aren't we? So he instructs us the right way to go, to follow after him. But we have to have a certain posture to receive God's instruction. And that posture here is that of humility. We have to be humble. Do you know what the first sin was? The first sin was actually pride. Lucifer, in his pride, thought he could be like God. He was the fallen angel. And guess what? He appealed to Adam and Eve. He appealed to their pride for them to go against God, for them to know things like God knew things. You know what? If we're honest with ourselves, many of the sins we commit are because we're not humble. We think, I can handle this. I'm above this. I can get away with this. When we're prideful, our direction gets confused. Do you realize that? When you're prideful, your direction gets confused. But when we're humble, we listen to what God's way is, and we have clearer direction. We have a clearer way to move. We have clearer directions. Now, many of you hearing this might even say to yourself, in pride, you might be thinking, I do what I want when I want. But verse 10 lets us know why we should go God's way. And here's what it says. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. The Lord loves us and he's faithful to us. And not only that, as believers, we should strive to love and be faithful to him and to the people around us for that matter. If you're confused about how you should respond to the other people around you, you can't go wrong with loving people and being faithful to them, right? You can't go wrong with that. You can't go wrong with showing other people love and being faithful to the commitments that you've made to them. But next, our sin confuses other people. Here's what it says. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Do you realize this? People are watching. People are watching you. As a believer in Jesus, you are an example to the people around you. If you're sinning, guess what you're doing? You're confusing them. You say one thing, but then do another thing. You're like confusing the testimony of Christ. The believer should fear the Lord, meaning respect him in obedience. The believer should follow the Lord, taking his instruction and do what the Lord chooses. The believer should abide in the Lord, meaning act in accordance with the way that the Lord desires. The believer is a friend of the Lord because they respect the Lord. Now, when a believer doesn't act in these ways, it's very confusing to unbelievers. Do you realize that? If you're a believer and you don't act in these ways, it's very confusing to the unbeliever. It's also confusing to fellow believers, and it's confusing to their offspring, to your offspring. You parents here, got a lot of parents in our church. You know, your kids should never say, my dad and mom act real different at church than they do at home, okay? They should never say that. You should be the same here and there. Your testimony should be consistent. But when a believer acts in these ways, there's clarity. People will know that we trust in Jesus. People will see us. One of the biggest opportunities that you have, which is so amazing, is to follow after the Lord and be a testimony before other people at work, at school, in your family. Isn't that exciting to know that tomorrow you can go to work and not only just work, because some of you are not very excited about that part, but you know that the way that you act, the things that you say can be a light for Jesus. Could you imagine if one of your coworkers became a Christian and one of the main reasons or one of the main ways that God actually saved them was through your testimony, the way that you acted, the things that you said, the obedience that you gave to the Lord? Could you imagine that feeling? Do you know, for me, some of the biggest head-shaking moments for me in ministry has been believers not acting like believers. So some of the biggest head-shakers, like, what? What's going on here? Why are they acting like this? But here's the truth. I'm not confused by it because I know they're giving into sin. But sadly, here's what happens. People that do not know the Lord or people that are young in the Lord are very confused. And in some cases, some of those people get jaded and cynical about the Christian faith and the church. I'm not saying they're right in being jaded and cynical, but it's true. You'll talk to people and they'll be like, I used to go to church, but the Christians there weren't really nice to me, weren't friendly to me, the leaders were bad or something, whatever it is. They get jaded and cynical. Let me ask you this. Do you want to be the person that other people think about when they're confused about the Lord? You want to be like, yeah, I heard about Jesus, but then his follower, I'm confused. I don't think you do, and I know I don't. I know I don't want to be that person. So in David's confusion, now he prayed. He prayed for confidence. He prayed in confidence to God. He prayed for guidance from God. But what he does in this last section is he prays for confirmation from God. Now, do you know what settles any confusion we may have? You know what settles any confusion we might have? I'll tell you, answered prayers. That's what settles confusion, answered prayers. Whether the answer is yes, no, or wait. And obviously, we all want the yes answer. That's why we're asking, right? We all want the yes. But sometimes the answer to our prayers are no or wait. And we don't really like those answers necessarily, but confirmation from God gives us clarity. It gives us clarity. Okay, God doesn't want me to go that way. God doesn't want this to happen. Or God seems to have me waiting. But now we actually have kind of like a path to travel on, don't we? Okay, it's a no answer. Move on to the next thing. Oh, it's a wait. Okay, well, let me not get too complacent in my waiting. Let me not do the wrong thing in my waiting. God wants me to wait. He has something that he wants to teach me. He has something that I need to learn. So confirmation from God gives us clarity, and David closes out this psalm asking God for confirmation. This is in his prayer, asking God, give me some confirmation. He says this, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. He starts with, my focus is on you, God, and what you can do. I'm laser focused on you, God, and what you can do. Then he says, pluck me out of the net, meaning whatever he's caught up in would be taking his focus off the Lord. Now, most of the times when we think about caught up, we think caught up in troubles, caught up in distress. And that's true of David right here. But do you know that it's not only sinful things and troubles that can take our eyes off the Lord? Do you realize that? Sometimes, and for us, I would say most of the time, I mean, many times we're not going through any type of trouble or affliction. Like, things are like, oh, whatever. Like, ho-hum, like, nothing. I'm not sick. I'm not poor. I'm not this. I'm not that. You know, we're pretty, like, you know, even-keeled. But sometimes the good things can catch us up. Family, friends, career, leisure, finances. The net for us is this, that what we're caught up in is this. We just pay too much attention to those things. They're good things that God blessed us with, but we spend so much time and effort and energy paying so close attention to those things that we get confused. We're just caught up. We're just caught up in something that isn't necessarily bad, but now all of a sudden, I've made it a sinful thing in my life. And in some senses, we worship those good things rather than God. And I'm not saying we bow down and sing songs to him, but basically what's happening is we're using our time, effort, and energy on those good things, and we're caught up. And we're caught up. So pray like David did, pluck me out. Pluck me out, help me, God. I'm just too invested in this. I spend too much time on this. Think about it this way. How much time do you spend praying, reading the word, serving the Lord? And then compare that to everything else in your life. See where it lands. See where it lands. So then he asks God for grace because he is lonely and in trouble. This is weighing heavy on his heart and he wants deliverance in his distress. When we're in troubling situation, it does. It weighs heavy on our hearts, doesn't it? And some of you right now, today, you might be just going through something and it's causing a lot of confusion because it is weighing heavy on your heart. It's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning. It's the last thing you think about when you put your head on that pillow at night. For some reason, you just can't shake this. You need to go to the Lord. But you see, when God answers our prayers, having an answer gives us some confirmation. Sometimes it's hard to accept the no or wait answer, but at least we are not confused any longer. At least we have some clarity. We can move on, have a degree of peace, because we know that we have to accept that answer. And many of you have been through things in life where you don't want to admit that this is what happened, but it did. And this is the answer. Now you have to move on. You know, one of the things we're going to study a lot of emotions over, like, you know, the next 12, 13 weeks or so. You never want to get stagnated in an emotion. You never want to stay in that emotion because it will become toxic to you. So the Lord teaches us how to move through these different emotions and help us to deal with each one of those things. Part of that is accepting the answers that God has in prayer, yes, no, or wait. So next, David asks God to deal with him from what is coming at him from the outside. But you'll notice this. He also asks him to deal with him. He asks God to deal with him from what's coming from the inside. Check this out. He goes on to say this. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Sometimes we're confused because of what's coming at us. We can't believe someone we love or someone we trusted wronged us. Have you ever been there? Someone I love, someone I trust, they wronged me. We can't believe something bad happened or to us or to someone we love. We're confused. We start to ask God, how can you allow something like this to happen? And we forget that we live in a sin-wrought world and things like this do happen. We're surrounded by sinners and we live in a sin-wrought world. That's why for us as believers, and you probably noticed this if you've been around a while, we talk about heaven. Okay? One of the reasons why we talk about heaven and we talk about God's, like the end times and all that stuff, is because we can't wait, right? We can't wait because no matter how good it is here, it's going to be way, 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 way. I can go on all day long. Better, okay, when we get to heaven and be with the Lord. See, these bad things and the sin-wrought world affects even the believer, the one that's following the Lord. When those things happen, pray like David did. Ask God to consider your troubles. He's already considering them. He already knows, but it's just a constant reminder. God, remember me. Forget about me. You know, I'm struggling. Other times we're confused by what's coming out of us, though. David says, forgive all my sins. You know, maybe you had a time in your life in which the sin that you committed was very uncharacteristic of who you are. Even the people around you are like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe that. It's so uncharacteristic of the normal way that you act. The entire situation even confused you. You're trying to explain yourself to the people around you. You're like, I don't even know why I did this. I don't even know why I acted like this. I don't even know why I said that. You gave in to temptation that you didn't think that you would give into. You said or did something that you did not mean to say or do. You need to go to God with that. God, forgive me. Help me to keep my focus on you. None of us are above it, okay? You have to realize that. None of us are above it. That's why the Lord wants us to keep our eyes fixed on him on a daily basis. We have an enemy, and he wants to bring us down. And that is the truth. You need to believe that, understand it, and realize you need to stay close to the Lord. You need to go to God with that. And that's what David's doing here, asking for forgiveness. Then he asks for protection. He says this, consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hated me. You know, prayer is for protection is pretty common for most believers, right? Going on a long trip, travel mercies, right? That's what we do. You go to the doctor, they said something, oh, we saw something. Pray for my health. Protect me, right? A lot of things are protection. I'm not saying that's wrong, but that's what we do, right? But there is also occasions in which someone we know might be trying to hurt us. Maybe not physically, but maybe they're trying to hurt our feelings. They're trying to hurt our reputation. You know, maybe you have a family member or a friend that maybe says little undermining little things to kind of hurt your feelings. You really can't say anything because they're like a bar of soap. You really can't like catch them. You know what I mean? They say it and they hurt and you don't know what to say back. You ever have those situations? Okay. They're trying to hurt you, your feelings. They might be trying to hurt your reputation. So then here's what David does. He prays, oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. You know what he's saying here? Don't let me retaliate. Don't let me be like that. That person might be trying to hurt me. I'm not going to hurt them back. You know, our gut instinct in the world teaches revenge. You know what I mean? Get them back. They did you something wrong to you. And it's easy for me to fall into that trap, so I would imagine it's easy for you to fall into that trap as well, right? Because when we're hurt, we want to hurt back. But he's saying, guard my soul, deliver me. Let me not be put to shame. Let me not act in shameful ways, Lord. David asks to guard him spiritually, deliver him, protect his reputation. He's taking shelter in the Lord. But then, finally, David prays that he will follow how the Lord directs him, not only him, but the people he leads. Remember, David's a king. He's in charge of a lot of people. It's kind of a big responsibility, I think, right? So he's saying this. His final thing in his prayer, he says, may integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. You know, maybe today you've come in here and you've been a little confused. You need to go to Jesus. You need to be confident in him. You need to ask him for guidance. You need to wait on his confirmation, his answered prayers. You know, as we observe communion, we're remembering what Jesus did, obviously, that his body was broken, his blood was shed in our place for our sins. But it's also a time for us to evaluate. And maybe for you, that evaluation has to do with, I don't know which direction I should be going. I don't know what's going on in my life. I'm tempted, or I'm falling into sin. Whatever that is, you need to bring it to the Lord. Go to him. Be confident in him. Ask for guidance from him. Look for his confirmation in your life. Those answered prayers. So I'm going to give you a few moments just on your own. Just spend time with the Lord, and then we'll partake together.